very pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church at 601 South Main in Wheeler, Texas. For an innumerable number of episodes, your host for our program is Mr. Mark Meek. Good evening, my friend. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm good. That mister kind of threw me off, but you went ahead and said friend.
That's right. Well,
so somewhere in there, we're good, right?
We're good. I think we're good on both counts.
That way. Okay, yeah. Okay.
You're the boss, and you're my friend. So.
All right. And so with us tonight, we have Wendell and Patsy Griffin. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. And we also have
my daughter Gianna.
Daughter Jill over here.
Gianna.
She was just telling me that she's gotten very emotional when she's heard you on the radio before. So if she gets emotional tonight, well, she's on her own.
Yeah, we'll put her on air.
Yeah, stick a mic in her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, y'all are relatively newlyweds. I mean, it's been a little time now, but.
Yeah, we got married on 4-3-2-1.
4-3-2-1. That's going to be an easy one to remember, isn't
that's
it?
That's why we did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a ceremony, and I wasn't able to go, but the bikers were all here, and
yes.
I mean, it was a really neat thing.
Yes. Nice.
And then you got married in church.
That we did.
Yeah, so y'all got married twice. So
no, actually three times.
Three times.
We had to sell it.
Maybe I shouldn't have gone there.
Maybe not.
Well, no, we got married to each other three times. We got married here with me, her, and Pastor Aaron.
Yeah.
And then we got married on the square so our ministry family could be a part of it.
You're right.
And then we got married at in the church so that our families could be a part of it. Our biological families could be a part of it.
Yeah. So, Sally, wasn't anything weird going on?
No. It's just the way it unfolded.
I thought, you know, when you said that, this went through my mind. Maybe some of our listeners, now I knew different, but maybe they're thinking they've been married, unmarried, married.
No, what happened was I've got a piece of property in Shamrock, and there was a deputy being hired that needed a place to live, and I was going to be able to rent my house out. And before I could move in with my now wife, we had to be married.
In God's eyes.
So we did a marriage here with just me and her and Pastor Aaron so we could be married properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved in, we rented the house out, and then we did on 3/20/21, we did the biker wedding. Mm-hmm. Then on 4/3/21, we did the actual ceremony where we signed the marriage license.
Well, you know, I'd seen y'all at church together, and I kind of knew you, not real well, but I kind of knew you, and I kept saying, who's that lady that's with Wendell? And, oh, that's his girlfriend. I thought y'all were already married, see?
And then a lot of people did.
Everybody was going, the only place I saw you together was at church. She wasn't like, I've seen you out in the public anywhere.
She wouldn't go with me nowhere in public.
That's because you got a radio face.
So here we are tonight, though, the end of all this story. Y'all are happily married.
We are.
Yes.
All right. And you know what, Wendell? She actually says nice things about you when you're not around.
It cost me a lot of money for her to do that. Not really. I love her very much. She's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, you better be saying nice things about her because she's saying nice things about you.
She's the sweetest woman I've ever met in my life.
And come on.
She is very in tune with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
She's a prayer warrior. She's my better half for sure.
Yeah.
And we are equally yoked.
Amen. That's a good testimony.
Yes, that was very sweet. Thanks.
Yeah. See, you owe me one now because
yeah,
I
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he pulled that out on
he
me.
He did.
No. I was going to say that anyway.
He's a wise man. How many years have you been married?
This year is a special year.
Is it? What is it? 50?
40?
50? That's amazing. That's a great testimony.
That is a great testimony.
Yeah. You know, through the years, we've kind of observed things. You know, sometimes things are pretty tough. And we had opportunity to jump out a few times, you know. My wife gets very frustrated with me. And she could have sent me to the curb probably, but we kind of observed things. And when we'd been married, I don't know, 20-something years, and we had a meal in Amarillo with two other couples, and they go, one of the couples, the guy goes, you know, it's a very unusual meeting here tonight. So there's three couples and we're in Amarillo, Texas, and we're all still married to our first wife. And after, I think the least was 20 years. And did you know that it ended up, both those couples ended up getting a divorce?
Really?
And we ended up the only one left.
three
over time.
It's hard to find that anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You have to work at it.
You do. And I find that the next generation that's coming up and the younger generation, like his daughter, it's getting really scary for those that are. And my heart is broken because there's so many couples that are my son's age, which are in their fixing to be 40s. Mm-hmm. And seeing them break up and the family split and the kids hurting because they don't know which direction to go, and so they turn to the world trying to seek that stuff out, and that breaks my heart.
Yeah. You know, the attitude that a lot of younger people have, they feel like, you know, if things aren't quite right, then they need to find somebody that they're a little more compatible with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their
attitude. And so, you know, what happens is, in my observation, it might not be always right, but in my observation, everybody brings baggage and pulls that package right back into another relationship, and all the hurts and all the emotional things that weren't settled out of the one relationship gets dragged right over into the next one. And then you have two of them that are that way, and that really makes it more difficult.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And
the poor kids have to sit there and watch all of it.
Yeah.
And take it, and they don't know how to digest all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So
It's tough on families. It really is.
They adjust to it and carry on with it. It's like a curse that keeps following the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you remember our grandparents saying that the next generation was in for a lot of trouble? You know.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
I just remember that. And I think of that whenever I think of this like this, I'm thinking, well, golly, my grandparents thought that of us, that our generation was really going to be bad.
When I was about 12, something like that, my sister got a pair of Bermuda shorts. You remember that?
Yeah.
And she got this pair of Bermuda shorts, and we went out to my grandparents' house. And I never will forget my granddad. He got really upset, and he said, "The next thing you know, you'll just be running around naked."
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you could see then, and the other thing, they didn't like TV very well.
Mm-hmm. And they definitely didn't like rock and roll music. Devil music.
You know, Annette's parents, Lawrence Welk, remember Lawrence?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Man, y'all are right in line here. Yeah. Y'all must be older than I think you are. But
I'm 62. She's 61.
Well, I'm a little ahead of you. But Lawrence Welk was the big deal. And I mean, I think it was Saturday night. They sat down and they watched Lawrence Welk. And you didn't mess with them.
That's right.
On the black and white TV with the rabbit ear antenna.
Yeah. No, I think where they lived, they had to have about an 80-foot tower outside. But they introduced the Beatles. Remember that?
Yeah.
Came
Ed,
to large.
Oh, that was Ed Sullivan that introduced Willie Nelson, and he bombed on the Ed Sullivan show.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Then later on, he come back, and now look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that Lawrence Welk show when the Beatles came out. And there was a bunch of bands that come out through that Lawrence Welk show.
Yeah. I can remember them talking about the craze in England over that. Lawrence Welk was talking about it. And here they came out, and, you know, before you knew it, everybody in the United States below the age of 25 probably was listening
getting
to
that
the Beatles
haircut.
Yeah, they were.
Remember that Jack Benny and Rochester show?
Yeah, I do. I can remember some long time before that, though, but Amos and Andy. And
oh, yeah, Amos and Andy, yeah.
We're getting kind of dated here a little bit.
Yeah, that's back in the 1900s.
It was. You know, when I was a kid, my granddad was born in like 1880 or something like that. So we kind of had that bridge back to the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty tough to think that 1900s have already gone now.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I was going in, the prisons doing prison ministry. Unfortunately, I was a knucklehead growing up, and I ended up doing some time in Texas prisons. And I would tell them that I was incarcerated back in the 1900s. And that kind of made everybody laugh, and it kind of broke the ice to where, you know, it made it easier to minister to them, to deliver a message to them.
Yeah. So I was one of them.
Yeah, I was one of them. I used to tell them, I said, yeah, back in the 1900s.
Yeah. Well, you've been staying busy, kind of away from home.
Lately. I have.
Over the road, trucking.
I have to make a living. She likes to spend money.
Well, didn't anybody tell you about that before you got married?
Well,
should have known.
I mean, I watched. She bought a lot of little things, and then when we said I do, she meant I do spend a lot of money.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, when the oil field went down, I had to resort back to my CDL and go over the road. And I have been driving up from Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
I've been seeing some really beautiful country. Yeah. A lot of God's good handiwork.
You showed me some pictures this morning that are pretty interesting.
Oh, the kudzu, or how do you say it?
Kudzu, whatever.
Kudzu.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing how that stuff grows. It's just crazy.
About to take the South over.
Yeah, all up and down the highway. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what state I was in. I think it was Alabama. I've been seeing mimosa trees all my life, but I've never seen them 30 and 40 foot tall.
Yeah.
Like I do on the side of highways in that state. I mean, they were everywhere. They were tall, and if it wasn't mimosa trees, it was that kudzu ivy.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. It's hard to drive and sightsee at the same time.
Well, are you by yourself, or do you have a...
No, I'm by myself.
By yourself. So another thing that I was kind of fascinated by, and I saw this on Facebook, but that was those caverns where you were unloading.
The underground warehouses in Missouri. The underground warehouses, from what I understand, the people in the office told me that I delivered a bunch of Pepsi Cola products to them, and they have a lot of vegetables delivered there. Mm-hmm. And the climate is at such a temperature down there under the ground that it doesn't cost them a lot of money for refrigeration. Mm-hmm. So they haul a lot of stuff in there and stored underground. Matter of fact, I think it's called the underground storage. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. I've never driven down into the earth before.
So
especially an 18-wheeler.
So when you tell me about when you showed up there at that facility, kind of what you ran into.
I have a GPS app on my phone called Trucker Path, and it's always spot on. It always takes me right to the truck entrance of every facility I've ever used it for. And it took me to this place. When I pulled up out there, all I saw was a parking lot with a bunch of tallied down 18-wheeler trailers. No buildings, just a parking lot. Off to the side, I saw a little bitty guard shack, and I went up to the guard shack and asked him if he could get me or point me in the right direction. He said that I was there. And I looked at him and I said, well, there's no buildings here. How are y'all going to unload my trailer? And he said, oh, everything's underground. And I thought he was kidding. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, no, seriously. And he pointed where the entrance was. And lo and behold, I had to give him my phone number. And when they was ready for me, they called me and they told me how to get down in the earth. And it was really interesting.
Yeah.
I'd never seen anything like that. And whenever I got through unloading there, my next load I picked up in Missouri, right down the road. It was a little bit south of Joplin. I had to go to a place of business that was built in the side of a mountain. The only thing that was not in the mountain was the loading dock where I had to back up to.
Really?
And of course, I got pictures of that, too.
Yeah, we're going to show all our listeners these.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to
show. See, I'm privileged tonight. I get to see the pictures.
Well, let's see. There's the dock. And there's the mountain
business is built inside of. And what they make there is blank cereal boxes. And I picked up 43,000 pounds of Cinnamon Toast Crunch blank cereal boxes.
That's a lot. 43,000 pounds of those boxes.
Yeah,
that's a lot of boxes. How much do you think they weigh a piece?
Oh, I don't know. I think there was, they said there was 10,000 blank boxes in a bundle, and each bundle would fit on a pallet.
Yeah.
So there's probably a ton per pallet.
Yeah.
Or a little less than a ton per pallet.
Wow. That's interesting.
You want to show the viewing audience this picture?
Yeah. let our overhead cam get that one. Zero in on it. But, didn't you have a companion on one of your trips or not? Did Patsy go with you?
Not yet. She's getting ready to come with me on a road trip.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Maybe that'll be a really neat one. You get to see some things that are
that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Hope so too.
I took on one of my trips coming back from Tacoma, Washington, I came through, I can't even remember, Badlands.
Yeah.
And I stopped at the Badlands at a rest area, and I got to take some pictures of it, and I got to reading on it, and it said that there is lignite coal. The reason they call it Badlands, because it's lignite coal. Back in 1950-something, there was a forest fire, and this lignite coal got ignited, and it burnt until 1978.
Wow.
And it was underground, and what it did to the earth has caused every time it rains that it kind of washes away some of the earth and is causing erosion. And they call it the Badlands because you can't build nothing on it because I guess it's just a bunch of ash. And yeah, it's pretty interesting to see. It is multicolored layers of dirt. I mean, for somebody that don't like looking at the canyons and stuff, it's probably not interesting, but to me it's pretty interesting.
So what state was that in?
I believe that was in North Dakota.
Well,
of course, I got pictures of it too. We can show the audience that.
Yeah, we need to have the audience take a look. And you know, here's kind of the funny thing. While we're looking at these pictures, they can probably Google every bit of this and look at a picture themselves if they have a computer. But and we may have a new format for the program. We can talk about something and people can look it up.
There you go.
There we go.
Burning Hills. I think it's North Dakota. I'm not sure. I got pictures of it, and I thought this little plaque that I took a picture of would have where it's located, but I don't see it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we still, our Circuit Rider ministry, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We've got, you know, here in Wheeler County on the Christmas, our veterinarian here in town raises money and toys for tots.
Right.
And so our chapter of Circuit Riders, or Behind the Bars Ministry chapter, mm-hmm. we're going to put on a toy run on November 6th.
Wow.
And we're going to raise money. Shamrock has a different toy drive. I think it's called the Irish Purse or something like that. But we're going to, all the proceeds that we get from this toy run, we're going to give half of it to Leanne Hill House and other half to the person overseeing the Shamrock right. toy chest. And we're going to have flyers made up and put out.
So yeah. How's that going to work?
We will meet up here at church on Saturday morning, November 6th, and it's going to be $20 a bike or a $20 toy or $20 or more value of a toy unwrapped to join the ride. And then we'll take a scenic route of the area up here that all the farmers have already been on. We're going to go through the countryside, and we're going to go through Miami and up 70 out towards north of Pampa and come down through Pampa and McLean. And
that'll be a neat
200 mile ride.
Yeah.
And it's all to raise toys for the indigent or the people in the area that needs assistance in their kids having a Christmas.
Yeah. Wow.
So it'd be a good thing.
I was going to ask you what Jesus was doing in y'all's life now. That's a...
You know what? It's I'm seeing a lot of areas as I drive across the country. I'm seeing a lot of areas that are in desperate need of our Heavenly Father's presence. Mm-hmm. And, of course, being on a time schedule, I really don't have time to stop. But, I mean, I pray as I drive down the road for everything that I see that the Lord's showing me. Mm-hmm. And I'll check in these places because mm-hmm. I know one day I won't be driving the truck. And I'll have time to travel. And then as these memories pop up a year or two down the road, mm-hmm. then there'll be places that we can go visit and do some ministry work. And she has a friend named Hank. What's his last name?
Huff.
Hank Huff?
Mm-hmm.
She has a friend named Hank Huff that has a very amazing ministry, and he uses dogs.
Dogs?
Labradors.
Yeah.
And a quick synopsis of this ministry. I'll try to do it real quick or give you a rundown of it. She has a dog named Yoko that came from this. It's called Kingdom Dogs Ministry. Is that right?
KingdomDog.org.
KingdomDogs.org.
No S.
Now, where's this at?
Houston.
Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And from what I'm understanding, Hank will take one of these trained dogs into a church, and he'll have a little thing called a bumper, and he calls it a sheep, and it'll be the lost sheep. And before the service starts, he'll hide a stuffed animal that's a sheep.
Up by a cross somewhere.
Somewhere in the congregation. And then when church service starts and during his message, he's got the dog laying down at his feet. And he said, this dog only listens for his master's voice, which is what we're supposed to do. Hmm. Only listen for our master's voice. And he says, in this lifetime, there's a lot of distractions. And as he goes on with his message, he'll have these dog treats, and he calls them sin. And he'll lay this sin beside the dog's head. And he'll tell the dog...
On each side.
On each side of the head. And he'll tell the dog, do not sin. and the dog listens to the master's voice, which is what we're supposed to do. Because there's a lot of sin in this world, and we're supposed to listen and focus on our master's voice, not on the distractions that are around us. And because the enemy's real good at distracting us. Yeah. And that's what he tries to do. And anyway, he goes on with this message. He does scripture, and he goes on with this message. And then he'll tell them that, look, I'm going to send this dog out to find this lost sheep. And I want y'all to holler his name. Don't reach out for him. Don't touch him. You can call him by name, but he will not pay attention to y'all because he only listens to his master's voice, which is what we're supposed to do. All right? Mm-hmm. So he'll send the dog out, and he'll give him hand signals, either go straight, go right, or go left. And the whole time, the congregation's going, like, I'm going to use your dog for example. The whole time, the congregation, her dog's named Dioko, which is a biblical name, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And they'll be saying, Dioko, Dioko. But they can't reach out to him. They can't touch him. They just got to call his name. And all he does is listen to the master's voice. And the master will say, Dioko, go forward, or Dioko, go right, or Dioko, go left. And he will lead that dog to that sheep that is hidden in the congregation. And the dog is being, the people are trying to distract him. The dog pays attention to the master's voice and goes right straight to that sheep.
I got to add one thing. He tells them before the dog starts to go up there, he'll say, now, when this dog comes back and brings me that lamb and brings him to my feet, I want all of you to stand up in the congregation and clap. So he sends the dog up, you know, and the dog retrieves the lamb, the lost sheep, brings it back to the master's feet and drops it. Everybody stands up and they clap their hands. And he says, now, that's what happens in heaven. All the angels clap their hands when one lost soul comes. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Yeah. And then when he does the thing with the treats in front of them, he'll have a big bone that he's hid somewhere. And he'll tell them, you know, some people may have smoking cigarettes, or some people may have pornography, and here's the one big sin that we all know that we have to struggle with, that we have to resist. And he puts it right down smack in front of his nose. And so he sends the dog again out to an area in the church, and that he'll have behind a cross this huge bone. So the dog goes, and he comes back with this huge bone, and Hank's picked up those sins over there, you know, the little doggy treats, and he brings back that bone. And Hank says, this is what happens. When we resist that sin, our Heavenly Father brings us big rewards. Now, would you rather have that little treat, or would you rather have this big reward that God has for you? It's really moving.
So the dog resists the treats.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the most moving things that happened, I had seen several of his presentations, and my former husband, which has passed away with brain cancer, he was in it. And so my son lives here, and we lived, you know, in Houston. And there was a little thorn in my side about having his 18-month-old daughter. I wanted to take her on a Sunday afternoon to Amarillo. But my son said, no, we're going to church. He was standing his ground. He said, my daddy taught me this. I will have my children in church. So no. So I was a little upset as a grandma, you know. So anyway, we go back to Houston after visiting here, and Hank gets up and does this presentation, and he has a grandfather dog, a dad, and then a puppy. And he says, now, men, you take your son out there, and you show them, you know, the worldly things that happens on. You go take them drink beer, you know, or whatever. Or you can train your sons and daughters to be in God's Word and be able to listen to God's voice. He said, now you decide which one you want. And it just goes on to that. But while I was sitting there, God said, do you see, Patsy? Mickey was my former husband. He said, do you see that Mickey has been on his knees praying, and he has taught his son to do exactly what I told him to. Mm-hmm. And Mickey's dad, which was Roy, he showed Mickey that he needed to be in God's Word and have that personal relationship with the Lord. And then, therefore, it was to your son, Britt. Mm-hmm. And I just, tears rolled down my face to think that
that you're going to try
I
to
doubted that, that, yeah, that I was going to be the distraction from what was going on. So it's really interesting. I love all the things that they do.
Mm-hmm. And see, whenever I'm not driving truck anymore and retired. That's the kind of stuff I want to go around doing. I'm going to go with Hank, and me and her go with him. We'll be doing that in the areas that God's showing me that really needs God's presence.
So you can do with the dog whatever.
Mm-hmm. You train them.
There's videos on the internet.
It's kingdomdog.org.
Kingdomdog.org.
It's really cool.
And they are some very powerful messages. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's simple. Yeah. You know, the dog listens to his master's voice. And that's what we're supposed to do.
So now, is your dog trained to do mm-hmm. all that? Mm-hmm. Are you trained to do all that?
She hadn't been able to find the lost sheep yet.
I could, but I've had numerous surgeries. And so now I'm getting back to where I'm healthy again. And so, yeah, I probably could do it now. But what God showed me after Mickey passed away is how he wanted me to do that with the dogs. Because with women, we tend to want – women need women. You know, back in the day – in the 1900s, no.
Back in the day, whenever –
you know, the women, they cooked, they sewed together – you know, they quilted and everything, you know, so it was the granddaughters, the aunts, and the moms, you know, and all cooking and everything. And
the
so
purple
we.
Purple hat society.
Yeah. No. We don't have that anymore because there's so many people that move. And so God showed me one day with a friend, she had two little kids, and of course mine were grown, that we stand there and we carry on a conversation, and the kids are running crazy around us, pulling our shirts, Mom, Mom, Mom. And we're so interested in that companionship as a female, to have that person that you can talk to, friendship is what I'm trying to say, that we just leave the kids alone and we just let them do whatever. But what we really need to do is stop, because if we have that personal relationship with the Lord ourselves, we will turn around to the next most important thing. You know, it's father, our spouse, and then our children. Mm-hmm. We'll turn to our children and set them, look them in the eye and say, what do you need? Because that's what God does to us. What do you need? If we ask him. You know? And so I want to teach women that as hungry and thirsty as they are for that relationship of a friendship, don't we have to train our children up the way God wants us to. Mm-hmm. And if we'll take that distraction of wanting that friendship and go back to the relationship we have with Christ, then our child, then go to that friendship, mm-hmm. it will just flourish. It'll be so cool.
Get everything straightened out, it all mm-hmm. kind of falls into place.
Huh? Yeah.
See why I married her.
We'll see how it works on you pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll see.
May be doing hand signals with you.
Yeah.
I do. No, just kidding.
I'm going to be watching now if I say that right and left.
If you ever see me scratch my ear with my foot, you'd tell me I need some help.
Hank also tells everybody that he names every dog. They have a Bible verse that's what their name is. Yes. And so
what is yours?
It is Philippians 4:13. I press on toward the goal, which was heavenward bound. I can't say it all. But then, so Mickey wanted to look up the word press in English, I mean in Greek or Hebrew. And so when we did, it was dioko. And it was to be eagerly to acquire, to seek after. You got to be careful what you name them or name your children, because that's what happens. You know, I mean, that eager to acquire, he is. You give him those bumpers that they throw, and they want to serve you. That threw me, sorry. So.
I hand it to you to read.
I know.
Philippians 4:13. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So how many of these dogs does he train a year? Quite a number?
There's quite a few. Yeah. They train, and then I think he has, like, the last time I had count, it was 6 that actually stay at his house. Hmm. And they go out, and it all started with a dog called Prophet. I hope I tell this story to give it the right justice that it needs. But it, they had a young man that they kind of took in, and he had a dog, and what they did was is they breeded dogs, and then they'd sell them, and they'd take that money and put it into a savings to get this kid to college. And so then they would, that they had a dog and it had this puppy, and it was, I believe they threw it in the trash and thinking it was dead. So then they, heard the dog in the trash can. And so he picks it up and he takes it in there, and his wife is like, "Hank, we have to save this dog. You have to save this dog. Pray over it." So they begin at the sink praying over the dog. They take it to the vet. He has funny stories to tell with it. But anyway, that's all happened with this little dog. Then they started using it as a ministry dog.
Yeah.
So it's really cool, the whole story. Hope it's on the website.
Man, I thought I heard about everything, but I just keep finding
learning,
out new stuff here, you know. That's pretty interesting.
It's, wow. It's a really powerful ministry.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and I can see.
He's gone into some predominant places that are just... And the lives that are changed through a dog's eyes, you know, is amazing. Of course, Hank also goes out and does hunt tests with them, and they get ribbons, and, of course, that brings up the value of the mm-hmm. dog with the more...
None of them has actually ever come back with a sheep when it's supposed to come back with a duck, did he?
No, I hadn't thought about that. Goofy.
So the dog runs out the door and runs across the street and gets a sheep and brings it back. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Well, what else is going on, man? We'll keep asking y'all the right questions. We're going to find out things about what's going on in the world.
Well, I don't know. We're trying to build our little home front up, and trying to serve the Lord every time we turn around.
Yeah.
Trying to find areas where He's working around us so we can try to help.
So is the November 6th event for the toys, is it the only thing you've got
no,
coming
we
up?
No, we got, of course, every year we do that St. Patrick's Day rally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Shamrock's going to continue doing their deal, but we're going to continue doing ours. We're going to have the Square Wheeler, Texas, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And this next year, we're going to incorporate a car show.
Oh, yeah.
With the bike show. And we're going to have we're going to have a big cash purse for first place, second place winners.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to get some of these people that have all these old muscle cars and want to enter them in a car show to come out and enter these in the car show. Because
mm-hmm.
we want to try to get everybody out there, and it's all going to be for just celebrating the life that God has given us. And there's a lot of people that either on the fence about having a relationship, like the message today, James was talking about kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are on the fence about whether or not they want to be in the kingdom. And there's a lot of them, well, there are some that I know of personally that they don't think they need that kingdom.
Yeah.
And we all know they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to try to love them into the kingdom, try to get them to come be a part of the bike rally and the car show. And that way they can see that they can still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some things that I was guilty of it, that God loved me just the way I am. There was just some things that I picked up along the journey in life that was going to take me to my grave that He wanted to help me get rid of, and I couldn't get rid of it without Him.
Yeah.
And He just wants to help everybody like that.
Yeah.
So that's the message we want to get across.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show them how we do it.
So when y'all have those bike rallies, I know that y'all's chapter shows up, but are there other chapters show up? And then are there unaffiliated people that show
yes.
up?
Yeah, this last year we had we tried to get some secular motorcycle clubs to show up. The ones that I'm friends with, they had some business to take care of. They couldn't make it, but they sent some of their support clubs to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the president of one of the chapters of the support club won all the trophies in the bike games. And which is pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
he had fun. His wife had fun. And you know, the whole day we had Christian music being played. We had a live band out there, and they did an awesome job. The band is called Subject to Change. They did an awesome job playing music all day. We had free food. And towards the end of the day, I heard that president of that secular motorcycle club's wife say, "Man, these guys are for real. They're not joking around about Jesus. They're for real."
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the day, we'd have prayer. We'd have, we had our wedding out there, too.
Yeah.
A little mock wedding. I got up there and grabbed the microphone and told everybody, I said, "I got an announcement to make. Y'all are all invited to our wedding here in 5 minutes." So we did our wedding right there on the square. Yeah, that's the ones that, we want everybody to come to this event so they can see a little bit of light in all of us and maybe see that, you know, there is hope.
Mm-hmm.
There is hope for them. There's hope for us. There's hope that can be obtained by just asking the right questions.
Right.
And that's just asking Jesus, forgive us. And
so, are the people that come, are they, I don't know exactly how to ask this without.
Or do they refrain from their regular activity?
No, that wasn't what I was going to ask. Do people like me that's just a farmer showing up?
Non-biker? Yeah.
A non-biker, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Does that bother them for non-bikers?
No, absolutely not. Everybody is welcome. I mean, we had a guy named General that went to Church of Christ. He passed away last week. He showed up in his old Chevrolet pickup, and he had a good time. He said he had an old motorcycle at one time that probably still in the barn. He's thinking about going to get it and see if it's starting and bring it out there.
That's not what happened to him, was it?
No, I think he had a stroke. He smoked a lot of cigarettes, and I think he died of a stroke, didn't he?
I have a clue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it doesn't bother. The more people that's there,
the more fun.
Yeah, the more fun, the better people like it, because it's like it turns out to be like one big family.
Yeah.
And there's no drinking going on. There's no cussing, even the secular motorcycle clubs that showed up, they were very respectful,
mm-hmm.
because they knew it was a day to celebrate Christ. And you know, they was very respectful, which I appreciate that when they heard like that.
Yeah.
And, so next year, the year after that, we might, if the car show goes off real good, the next year we might even have a tractor show.
Just get everybody in.
Yeah, bring everybody in. Maybe a horse show or. Well, you know,
cleanup gets to be a little difficult after a while with some of that.
Yeah, maybe we won't do the horse show. But we did. The city was real, real good about putting us some dumpsters out there, and the people that showed up, they're real good about putting the trash in the dumpsters.
Yeah.
So it was the only area that there was not any cooperation was the bounce house we had beside the youth building. There was a lot of trash that we had to pick up right there, but we got her done.
But they had a lot of fun.
Yeah, they had fun.
Yeah.
I think they had more fun throwing the trash on the ground than they did in the bounce house.
Than the bouncy toy. Yeah, those kids like those bouncy toys.
Yeah. It was a good event.
So now, Patsy, do you ride a motorcycle?
With him.
With him.
On the back.
Okay. You don't have your own?
No.
Okay. I don't think you're going to have your own.
Nope.
Have y'all done any, like, road trips or anything like that together?
Well, she said earlier, she had a lot of major surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
She's still recouping. She can ride a little ways, but she gets, after we ride too far, she gets to hurting the next day. So we try to refrain from that for now.
For now?
For now. My daughter Gianna, I guess it was 2 years ago, we saddled up in Shamrock. You was 10 years old. And we saddled up in Shamrock and we rode to Box Blues and Barbecue in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Oh, wow. Box Blues and what?
Barbecue. Yeah, our circuit riders has a chapter up there, and they had a booth up there. Yeah. We did motorcycle washes and bike blessings and prayer requests and all kinds of stuff. So we rode up there. It was, I think it took us 15 hours to get there.
Oh, wow.
At least 15 hours.
You did. I didn't.
I had to stop and pee like 5 times, so maybe 20 hours.
No, it was about 15 hours, 14 and a half hours we showed up there.
Yeah. Or 3 days.
Now, Fayetteville, is that where the University of Arkansas is?
Oh, I have no clue.
What's the University of... Anyway.
I know that's where our resting place was.
That's what you were glad when you got there.
Yeah, I was glad we got there. There was a whole bunch of motorcycles there.
Patsy, I don't know if I want to get ready to do that trip. That'd be a
long one.
Long ways, yeah.
We took a car to, we had our National Officers meeting in Kinder, Louisiana. That's about just as far. But we took the car on that one.
Yeah. Maybe y'all better do the truck road trip up first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The company I work for really gave me a really nice truck. Yeah. This really comfortable truck.
Got a sleeper and all that.
Two beds in it.
Wow.
It's a really nice truck. It's comfortable. It's a 2016 Kenworth T680.
Yeah. Wow.
Which makes it really enjoyable.
Yeah.
If I have to make money, might as well do it in a truck.
So we've got about 11 minutes left, and just share something with us a little bit. You've kind of got a little bit of a preacher in you. You got anything you want to share?
Well, the Lord's been revealing to me lately to be still and listen to His voice. Mm-hmm. And stay focused on Him, because there is a lot of distractions. It's like we was talking about them distracting Dioko in the church. There's a lot of distractions in the world. And every morning when I get up, I pray for my daughter, my wife, my job, and all my co-workers and all y'all. And the thing that He keeps popping up, revealing to me, is be still and listen to His voice. Don't get in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And because you can ask Patsy, sometimes I get in a, not really a panic, but a impatient rush.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
And you're really unique. You're probably the only person
that ever does that.
Ever done that.
Yeah. And, every time I get like that, if I make a mistake, and I tell you what, I was in New York City in this 18-wheeler. I missed my turn to get on the highway, and instead of stopping and turning my flashers on and trying to get my concordance back where I could figure out what to do, I panicked and I just kept driving, and I took a right and I ended up in a residential neighborhood. I had a little infotainment system on my dash, and it pops up low bridge ahead. Wow. And it gave the height of the bridge is 12'6", and my truck height is like 13'4". I was going to peel the top of my truck off if I'd have kept going. So right then, that was another time I heard God's voice and said, be still and hear my voice. And I pulled over the side of the curb, I took a deep breath, and I thought, okay, Father, what am I going to do here? Because I'm in somewhere I've never been before. I'm in New York City, New York. I mean, there's like, there's more people there than there should be. It's overcrowded bad. There's all kinds of cars going by. I saw a curb that I could pull up next to in front of a school, and I pulled this 18-wheeler up in front of that curb, parked it. I turned my flashers on, and the Lord put it on my heart, called the police. So I thought, okay. I called the police, and they came and helped me get out of that situation.
Wow.
They asked me what I needed for them to do. I said, could y'all stop traffic back there and let me back my truck up and make a legal U-turn right here so I could get going the right direction? And that was the Lord helping me out right there. I never thought to call the police.
Yeah.
But that was an example of him saying, be still.
Yeah.
And just let him handle it.
Wow. You know, there's a song that we sing, and I love this. There's one little phrase. I really like the whole song, but it says, I love your voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I realized when I sang that song the first time, I thought, I really do love his voice, because usually, you know, it's when I'm needing to hear something really.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How did you learn to recognize his voice? How did we all learn to recognize his voice? To his written word, right?
Yes. And then the other thing is by eliminating other voices.
Yes. But you had to learn his voice to know which ones to eliminate.
That's right. You do.
And that's why it's really important to feed on that, on mm-hmm. his written word. Because
mm-hmm.
he says in Jeremiah 29:13 that if you search for him with a sincere heart, he will reveal himself to you.
Yeah.
And you search for him in that written word, and he will stand true to his word. He yeah. will start revealing himself to you. And that was the first thing that, whenever I first got saved and started reading, trying to get to know who this was that put this fire in my being, he started revealing himself to me. And I thought, that is really awesome that the creator of this universe would reveal himself to me.
Yeah.
And he does it to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, just stop and let him reveal himself.
Yeah.
You got to recognize his voice. Got to recognize his calling.
You know, there's times that he'll say really helpful things that sometimes we don't catch. Mm-hmm. You ever done anything?
Yeah, not the first time around. We don't catch it the first time around, but yeah. he's faithful. He'll keep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've told this story before, but I had a calf out, and so I was driving right down beside the fence, and the calf was right in front of me, and I had a gap, probably about 2 foot between the fence and my pickup. And the calf turned around and came in through there. And I thought, and here was my thought, I'll just open my door and stop him. And so I went to open my door, and this was happening real quick. And somebody said, it was real plain, don't open your door.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the door, and the calf ran into the door and dented it real bad. But I've realized later in life, you know, believe the Holy Spirit in times like that, he'll give you specific instructions.
Yeah.
And you learn to listen to that. You learn to hear that.
Take heed to the warning.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
who's sitting out there right now, but it's like, tell this story God's been telling me before I even walked in here, that there's somebody out there that needs to hear exactly what you two were talking about.
Yeah.
Be still and know who I am. And so whoever you are that you think all the darkness that you have right there in front of you and that there's no hope, all three of us have been there where we didn't think that Christ was there. He's there and he's loving you. All you have to do is reach up and grab his hand, open God's word, find somebody that is a Christian or a pastor, and seek Him out. Mm-hmm. You're not alone in anything that you're mm-hmm. doing out there. You're mm-hmm. never alone. He walks beside you, and when you're too weak, He'll carry you.
Yeah.
So I do ask, Father, that you lift this person up and you hold him in your palm of your hand, in your righteous right hand right now. Where the tears are falling and the person feels lonely, let them see the light shine, Jesus, please. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Amen.
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 See why I love her. See ya.
Yeah. Well, we got about 3 minutes left. 3 minutes and 15 seconds left. We're rolling right through this program now.
Yeah.
Can't believe where we're at.
Can I give my daughter a chance to say hello?
Sure.
Come here, Gianna. This is Gianna Griffin. Gianna is an old Hebrew word, and it means gracious God.
Gracious God.
So it's by the grace of God that I was able to procreate a child. And yeah. So I found that name fitting for her.
Yeah.
Say hi, Gianna.
Hi.
Now she's going to be bashful.
You know, Gianna, I did pronounce that right, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Gianna.
She's only 12.
Yeah. I had my granddaughter on one night. And all I did was ask her, do you want to go to the radio with me? And so she said, yeah, I'll go. So she sits over there and then... she started wanting a mic, and she just talked, and we had a good program. Well, about a year later, I thought, well, I'll take her back with me, and so I take her in there, and she wouldn't say a word. I mean, here I was, this was my program, and I'd say something, and she'd just look at me like, are you nuts? I'm not going to say anything. And so I don't know what happened in a year's time. Yeah. Something shuffled.
Yeah, I can't at home. I can't get her to be quiet. Now I can't get her to talk.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You know, you get older and hopefully wiser.
Yeah, hopefully wiser.
Hopefully wiser. Yeah.
So how many grandkids do you have?
Six.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two?
So we're increasing.
Yeah, sounds like it,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I bet you have them all over at your house at Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Well, really, we don't much. We kind of go their direction. In Oklahoma City, we go down there, and they have facilities to take care of us, so we kind of go down there and do it down there.
How blessed. That's even better.
Yeah.
They cook it, they clean it.
Yeah. So we get together, we just don't do it at our house a whole lot. So anyway. Well, this is a program. Thank y'all for being on.
Thank you for the invite. I love being on the radio.
Well, I love to follow you on Facebook. I don't do it every day, but I get on Facebook. I usually check on you and see where you're at. And
do you ever see the Behind the Bars Ministry devotionals you post every morning?
No.
Really? I need to invite you on there. Behind the Bars Ministry.
Okay.
On Facebook.
I'm not a big Facebook person. But I I caught you when you were in New York City.
Yeah, that Bronx. When I drove to the Bronx, golly, that was, I told them don't ever send me there no more.
All right. Well, hey, we gotta go. Good night and God bless.
God bless.
Good night, everybody.